your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hell yeah. Are you there, David Britton?
I am here, yes.
G'day, mate. How's it going? And welcome to 2020.
Well, good to hear from you for the first time in 2020.
That's right.
Your last time.
Anything special happen in the sky to do with it being 2020? Do the numbers meet the stars at all?
Sorry, couldn't quite hear that last
bit. Didn't really make sense. I guess what I'm saying is, what's going on in space?
Okay, yeah, no, sorry, it was a little bit of a noise outside. Well, actually, Rocket Lab, of course, they've launched a number of satellites, and I think they might have another launch coming up soon. They've got some competition in New Zealand. In the background for the last 2 or 3 years, a company called Dawn Aerospace has been beavering away. What they want to do is come up with a even cheaper system for launching satellites than Rocket Lab. Rocket Lab is able to launch the smaller end of satellites rather than the big ones that SpaceX and NASA would launch.
Right.
Their aim at Dawn Aerospace is to also have green fuel. So
excuse me?
Fuel that doesn't produce nasties that are going to affect the atmosphere and the climate.
Right, right, right. As avgas would be quite, it's like the worst of all the petrol, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if I, they're talking about their ultimate aim is everything I just said. They're certainly not there quite yet. They have what it's going to be is a rocket plane. So a little bit like a mini space shuttle.
A look at it here. It looks like a drone. Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll come back and land, and the idea is you could do, multiple flights even in the same day.
What I'm curious about, David, is it's like location with this kind of stuff, isn't it? And isn't it better to be like right on the equator? Why are they doing it from Oamaru?
Okay, similar to the reason
is it 'cause it's cheap?
That... Rocket Lab are launching from Maui Peninsula.
Yeah.
Yes, there are disadvantages not being close to the equator, but then we're launching lighter satellites. They're
right.
Not as heavy, and certainly nothing that's manned, which is even heavier. So the need for being near the equator isn't quite so much.
Mm.
And it's all offset really by the fact that we're launching across the South West Pacific, where there's hardly any planes, hardly any shipping. Nothing to get in the way, really.
Cool.
With Dawn Aerospace, though, they're going to be, their aim is to launch from a normal airport. So you don't have to have downrange exclusion zones and all the rest of it. Whether they can achieve that is another thing.
With what looks like a drone or a sort of plane, where do they shoot the satellite from? Does it pop out the top or something like that when the plane's up high enough?
I don't know. They haven't revealed that yet. I mean, they're up to Mark 2. Mark 1 was a plane that could just fly around above the surface of the Earth, which is fine. Mark 2 is meant to go up to 100 kilometres.
I hope it comes
up. So they'll go up to where space is and back down. But the bigger problem is to get something into orbit. You've got to go around the Earth.
Mm.
You've got to reach speeds that are much, much higher.
Are you alluding to flat Earth right now?
Yeah. The other thing is with their fuel, that they're using nitrous oxide, which is fine. And that's been combined with something called propene.
Grunty.
Yeah. Now, propene is actually derived from oil refining and natural gas processing. And what's produced from burning the two together is water and carbon dioxide. So when they're talking about a green fuel, producing water, so does hydrogen and oxygen, which is what the big rockets use.
Is
it just produces water.
Greener.
But this is also producing carbon dioxide. So I think maybe greener, you're right, might be the better term at the moment.
Oh, it's good. It's good that all of these industries are considering all this stuff. You know, they obviously can't be so out in the public eye and get all the support they need without deeply considering these things, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, the main thing really to take from it is more and more of these companies are attacking the problem of the pollution and effect on the atmosphere and the climate. And if the small ones do that, that will prompt the larger ones to follow suit. But there's always the bottom line of the actual speed you have to achieve to get stuff up there is so great. And what is really needed is a quantum leap and discovery of invention that
anti-gravity
we really don't
situation.
Know about yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, another space news, David, the Spitzer Space Telescope is being retired?
It is. Now, the Spitzer Space Telescope was launched 16 years ago. The difference with this is it's a bit like the Hubble Space Telescope, but it's entirely infrared. So it's looking at light that has wavelengths longer than visible light, which means it can see through dust. So normal visible light bounces off dust, which means you can't see what's behind that dust. And by dust, I mean out in space, huge, massive clouds of dust, very, very thin, but huge and massive, and it hides whatever's behind. Infrared light is a longer wavelength, and it just goes through those dust grains. But to achieve that sort of imaging, the telescope has to be cold. And by cold, when this was launched, it was kept at an ambient temperature of 4 degrees above absolute zero using liquid helium.
Jesus.
So it has to be that cold, otherwise the heat from the telescope just obliterates all your imaging. So to help with that, it was in orbit, or still is in an orbit, not around the Earth, because the Earth is warm, but following the Earth in its orbit. So it's following behind the Earth in this very similar orbit to the Earth, but way behind the Earth.
So staying in the one place relative to us, but spinning around like we are around.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of following behind us, but you know,
in a big, yeah,
few million kilometers back, and gradually getting further away. And it actually exceeded mission plans by more than double. The planned mission, 2.5 years. They extended it to a bit more than 5 years until the helium supply was exhausted. And then it went to what is called the warm mission. And that warm mission, the temperature of the telescope was still minus 243 degrees Celsius. So it was still very cold, but not cold enough to do the prime imaging that it had started out with.
Is this a NASA situation, all this?
Yeah.
Is it with these things, is it likely that this project would be like someone's whole career and they kind of wouldn't do anything else? They would just be focused on this one thing because it takes so long for it to eventuate and sort of manifest?
I'm sure for some people involved that would be absolutely true.
Interesting, eh?
Yeah. I mean, it launched 16 years ago, but there's a huge amount of work that goes on before it's even launched, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So even a few people's careers, maybe. Yeah.
Are they still still unraveling all the data which it's
data
sent back to Earth?
Data.
Yeah, they are. And they're going to have a big reveal in a couple of weeks, a huge conference where they're going to discuss all the aspects of what the Spitzer Space Telescope did and what it discovered, and leading on to the next one, the Webb Telescope, which is going up past the moon, also infrared. So in the last few years, what Spitzer's been doing is preparing targets for the Webb Telescope to follow up when it's finally launched.
Very nice, very nice. Now, David, what is happening in the night sky at the moment? What can we look for?
Well, with the late sunset and early sunrises, less darkness, of course. At least the fires over in Australia have died down a lot. So
yeah, that must
not
be wreaking
so
havoc with
high haze and so on. So really the two bright things to look for at the moment after sunset in the west is Venus, and in the morning before sunrise is Mars. In fact, this morning the very thin crescent moon was right next to Mars. I don't know if people
Sweet.
Might have seen that before sunrise.
Just quickly, David, a friend of mine's looking at getting a telescope, entry level. He probably wants to look at land things as well. Is that like a realm, or should he just get binoculars? What do you think?
The one thing with a telescope, you're looking at something faint in the night sky.
Mm.
So you want the least amount of glass between you and what you're looking at.
Okay.
So with an astronomical telescope, what you look at doesn't have to be the right way round.
I see.
Okay, to make something on Earth terrestrial so the right way round, you put, sometimes need another piece of glass
Oh, interesting. Okay, so if it's a real deal telescope, kind of it won't flip the image.
Yeah, well, it can flip, or it can even turn left and right, any of those combinations, because it doesn't matter. A star is a star, and it doesn't matter whether it's upside down, left or right.
Okay, out of it. So the hobbyist sort of ones, you can tell because it'll flip the image pretty much.
I'd rather have a whole session talking
we
about
should.
This, actually.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, can we do that?
Yeah,
later
absolutely,
time?
Mate.
Then
no,
I
appreciate,
sort of
I appreciate you.
A bit more detail.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay,
I think it's a great idea.
Good, thanks.
Cool.
Yep.
We'll tee that up for some time.
Back to the night sky, or onto the Stardome.
What's going on, the Stardome?
Yeah. Well, very, very quickly, we've got the school holiday program is still running until Friday, called Investigation Station, about life on Earth, plants and bugs and so on, and what about the Earth means that they can survive, as opposed to planets elsewhere in the solar system. You can just drop in and do the activities and the rocket launching. No bookings are required for that. If you want to also see the planetarium show, which is at 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock, there are three showings, the show called Life of Trees, you do need to book for that, and there's extra charge for that. All the details are on the website at stardome.org.nz. And this coming weekend, we've got on Sunday, not quite an open day, it's a $2 a person type of open day called Takeoff, all about rockets. So there's for kids, bring the kids along, there's a bouncy castle, looking at the sun through solar telescopes. There'll be some food trucks out in the car park. Rocket launching and so on. That's from 10 a.m. on Sunday to 4 p.m.
Oh, fantastic!
On Sunday.
Sounds like a good old day out with bouncy castles and food trucks.
Oh, we love the bouncy castle.
Yeah, yeah. In the park there, the grass is looking a little bit brown, but at least you know.
Hey, there's a bouncy castle. It'll look even browner after that bouncy castle's been on it.
All right, David.
It's pretty dry up there.
It's great to catch up, mate. And we'll tee up some time to dive into telescopes. I'm sure people
absolutely will love to talk about that.
Sweet, mate. Awesome.
See you next time.
Okay, bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.